Welcome to the Ted Brewer Show with Austin Bro. We're having fun today on this beautiful day here in Florida in February. They actually have no chemtrails on us today, so that's a nice day. It's always a nice day when you can breathe fresh air, Austin, except for we're dealing with the spray from yesterday. So, but Todd, I don't know if you heard me or not, but we have Dave Hodges coming on today at 20 after 3. He wants you to call him up at 20 after 3 on his Skype, on his cell phone. So Dave Hodges will be my guest today at 20 after 3. Todd, if you could step in for a second, let me know you got this message. That would be great. Got it. Thank you. My Bible verse for the day is 1 John 4:4. And this is one of the worst verses that I hold on to all of the time because this is just an incredible verse. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. I'm saying this again. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world, which means Lucifer. So guys, we have victory in Christ. We have victory in Jesus. And I'm excited about being on with you guys today. Things are starting to really get heated up there in Washington as far as what's happening with Scalia. And Trump, Austin, I don't know if you saw it or not, he said he is going to expose, he's going to do, when he's president, he's going to give us the 28 pages of redacted information linking Saudi Arabia to 9/11. And he says, Trump vows, elect me and you'll find out who really knocked down the Twin Towers, and you may find out that it's the Saudis. GOP frontrunner Donald Trump has promised to make public currently guarded secrets surrounding 9/11 attacks should he be elected president. Speaking at a campaign event in Bufflin, South Carolina, Trump continued his onslaught on the Bush presidency by once again raising the issue of the attack on the World Trade Center. We went after Iraq. They did not knock down the World Trade Center, Trump told the audience. It wasn't the Iraqis that knocked down the Trade Center. We went after Iraq. We decimated their country. Iran's taking over today, Trump continued. But it wasn't the Iraqis. You will find out who really knocked down the World Trade Center because they have papers in there that are very secret. You may find it's the Saudis, okay? But you will find out. But I look at a guy like Lindsey Graham who will end up being over there in that war forever. Then he'll try to start World War III. Trump also noted Trump was referring to the 28 pages of the original Joint Congressional Inquiring. This is a 9/11 investigation into 9/11, which remains classified and withheld from public grounds on grounds of national security. The pages are thought to implicate the Saudi royal family in financing the supposed hijackers in the United States prior to the attack. Donald Trump has brought up 9/11. Donald Trump has told us that if we tell him what happened, if we elect him president, he will tell us who took down the Trade Towers. Austin, if there was any doubt that this man was for real, this is for real. There's no way that anyone has touched any of this for 15 years, and now he's coming after it again because he wants to know, because he's a New Yorker. He saw what happened to his city. He had a lot of friends who died in the Trade Towers, and he wants to expose it. So this is like a breath of fresh air, but I have to urge Donald Trump right now, please don't trust the Secret Service. I know Wayne Allen Root said he had his own security for Trump. I want you guys to know that, Donald, please load up on security. Bring 100 men with you. Stack them on the different airplanes if you have to. Put a shield around you. Because you start exposing 9/11, you start exposing Dick Cheney and Bush and all of the ones who were involved in all this, and Rumsfeld, and you start talking about all of this stuff and the $2.3 trillion that went missing the day before 9/11 on September the 10th, 2001, that was announced that it was missing from the Pentagon, not to be ever seen again. And all of a sudden, the day after that, this massive attack happens. Guys, this attack did not happen overnight. This was planned. It was orchestrated. It took years to put this program together all the way back into the Clinton administration. This has been going on by the globalists for a long, long time. And guys, if Trump is willing to go after the guys that did this, he's the real deal. What do you think, Austin?
Man, that's a bombshell. I mean, the fact that he brought that up now in national media and is saying that he's going to find out exactly what happened. Man, you're not kidding. The guy is full, completely for real. There's no question about that now, because there has not even been anybody in any part of the government that has brought this up except for the normal standard narrative that we've been told for the last 15 years. And what's so crazy about it is it's completely and totally bogus that they're keeping that entire report sealed off as far as being classified, because there's no way after 15 years there's anything involved in that report, if this was legitimate, that would implement anybody anymore. There's no reason it should remain classified, especially with the Freedoms of Information Act and the fact that we've already invaded a country due to that attack. It should already have been released a long time ago, which tells anybody that has any type of a brain and any type of common sense left that there's something else behind that. The 9/11 thing, like you said, when you were taught that one college class that one time, you were a guest, you came in there and said, how many of you believe that we have not been told the whole story about 9/11? Everybody raised their hand in the class. Everybody.
Every person, yep. Yeah.
Every person. People know that something happened that day and a whole lot of things leading up to that that we have never been told. And that's the absolute truth. Interesting article, too. He came out today and he said that he specifically promised he would sign a bill as president to defund Planned Parenthood. He repeatedly indicates he opposed Planned Parenthood funding and has always stopped short of committing to sign legislation, to sign legislation to stop the flow of taxpayer funds to the nation's biggest abortion business. And here's the issue I have with this, guys, and he's completely correct with this. If they're going to go and have a private, for-profit abortion clinic, which I don't agree with, I don't support, nor would I ever support, if they were going to do that, though, why in the world do we have to support it with our tax-paying dollars? Makes absolutely no sense to me that we have to spend our money that we make on taxes to fund a company that kills millions and millions of aborted babies, basically aborts them every single year. He's completely correct with that. Even if they don't get rid of it and basically criminalize abortion in the United States, allowing the American public to keep our funds and be able to put them where we want and not put them in abortion clinics, that's a huge step. Now, whether or not he'll be able to get that passed, we saw that with Planned Parenthood already last month as far as how much protection they have now by the U.S. government. But, I mean, if he does get elected, I have a feeling he's going to be pretty serious about some pretty substantial things, especially after bringing up the 9/11 thing now.
Well, if anybody had any doubt that he was a 9/11 truther and he wants the truth to come out about 9/11, and I'm saying that in a positive way, he has forever eliminated that. I got an email this morning of this guy doing a talk show, and he's basically deciding that everybody's going to be in World War III within 17 days. And the thing about it is he's talking all this stuff. And what was interesting about it, I want to read you the – I'm not going to read you the article, nor am I going to give you his name. And a good friend of mine emailed me this morning and sent me this article. Gosh, it's like 10 or 15 pages long, and wanted to know what I thought about it. And I'm going to go ahead and read you some of this because this is important we talk about this. And I put on there a lot of the facts in this article are correct, but nuclear armaments will not be used in a Middle Eastern war. Perhaps fuel air bombs could be used. Microwave weapons will be used. Satellite-based weapons could be used. Nukes are old school, 80-year-old technology. They are no longer needed. There's too much collateral damage. I don't think there will be a world war, but this regional war could get hot, but there will be an economic breakdown. The Rothschild British BIA IMF banking cartel has totally corrupted the world's monetary system. The derivative exposure is in the thousands of trillions, the term being quadrillions. The problem is Saudi and Qatar and the CIA want a gas pipeline through Syria. Russia asked Syria to say no because they're their allies. The pipeline was to feed Europe natural gas, competing with the gas Russia sells to Europe. That's what started the civil war in Syria. That's when our CIA got involved. Because remember, the person that we have in Turkey right now, the president of Turkey, was put in by our CIA. I'm going to give you a little article on him in just a second. Can this blow up into World War III? Slim chance. It depends on what the bankers want to do. If they want war, there'll be war. If they don't want to be war, there won't be war because they control everybody. But they need some type of obfuscation to cover their criminal deeds. Remember 9/11 Building 7 held the physical evidence for Enron. This is the big scam where he stole all that money from the utilities in California. Building 7 was completely destroyed, and all of the physical evidence was destroyed, so there were no longer any prosecutions for Enron. These guys are incredible at covering their tracks. So World War III in 18 days? Nah, never going to happen. I call this fear porn. More application to cover Scalia's death. This is probably disinformation. It was definitely written by a top copywriter. This writer was excellent. I'm sure they are highly paid disinformation agents. Ryder claims to have been in prison. Maybe this is why it was released to put out this type. Maybe that's why he was released, was to put out this type of information. The flow of this letter is that of an infomercial to promote his show. The one thing I know for sure is this. We live in interesting times. If someone is bored right now, they are asleep. What do you think about that, Oz?
Yeah, I read that email you sent out, and that was definitely correct. I mean, there was no question about it. I mean, that's a very, very good rebuttal to that article, because I started reading some of that same article you're referring to, and that's exactly the same, my thoughts on it as well. Let me bring something up here, so I wanted to address this before we get Dave Hodges on, because this is really important that a lot of guys hear this. Most people, this is common sense, but I want to go over a couple different things right now, just to give you guys a heads up. I'm on the phone all day. I'm in an office. We have multiple phone lines here, so I get phone calls in and out all over the place. If you ever get a phone call on your personal cell phone, your work phone, doesn't matter what phone it is, if somebody calls you and they say they're with anybody, FedEx, American Express, GoDaddy, anything, you name it, and they call you and they ask you for personal information, never give them a single digit, name, anything. The reason why I'm saying that is I've had multiple times in the office now, not too long ago, I had it was a fraud. Apparently, I called up FedEx to verify it later on. A guy called me and said, hey, I'm such and such with FedEx. We have a shipment for you. I need to verify some stuff for it that gets delivered. Well, the first thing I thought was, if you have a shipment for me, why are you calling me to ask me to verify anything? You already know where it's going. It's FedEx. So I said, okay, what do you want? Well, I need to know to make sure we have the correct address down for the shipment. I said, wait a minute, buddy. I said, if you have the shipment and it's coming to me, you tell me what's my address and I'll tell you if it's correct. Well, no. We need to validate it. You need to tell us what it is. I said, I'm not telling you nothing. I don't know who you are. I said, I want to speak to your manager now. I said, this is bogus. And he immediately hung up, got off the phone. Had another phone call today, very similar to that. It was with a different company. My grandmother, who basically had the exact same thing happen, she fell for it. Basically, somebody came up with, called her from Microsoft, said, hey, we need to check, make sure your operating system's running correctly, real professional. I need to check this. She goes, okay. He goes, I need your ISBN number. I need, like, this routing port number. I need this. So finally, she got through, and she's like, you guys should already have all this, and why are you calling me from this? And, oh, well, everything's good to go. Boom. And sure enough, a couple days later, Dad remembers this. It was a hacker. He hacked in her computer. She couldn't do anything. As soon as she got on her computer, he changed stuff. It tied into her internet. He changed TV channels on her. It was absolutely horrible. Finally, he had to basically take all the stuff, have it all cleaned out, and then she still ended up getting rid of it, had to get all new electronics. So do yourself a favor. Somebody calls you. It doesn't matter who they are. No matter how legit they sound, do not give them a single stitch of information. If you're calling American Express, that's one thing. But when they call you, you shouldn't have to give them anything. The second thing I want to remind people about is keep your doors locked. We were just talking about that a minute ago before the show. We had a good friend just had his truck broken into. I had the exact same thing happen before. But what's happened is most of the time the vehicles are not locked. My vehicle was not locked either when this happened a couple of years ago. The reason why is as the economy gets worse, more and more people go out in the middle of the night looking for free stuff. Wallets, sunglasses, guns, change, anything, you name it. Well, we understand when you break into a vehicle, if you bust the window out, if you jimmy the lock, if you pry it open with a key bar or a crowbar, A, you're going to make a substantial amount of sound regardless of what you're doing. B, now you're breaking and entering, which means if you get caught for the crime, you're not only getting charged with theft, petty theft, whatever it is, breaking and entering, and multiple other charges they'll probably tack on there. So a lot of these guys, what they do is they go around to neighborhoods in the middle of the night, they sulk real slow in all black, they slowly grab the door handle with gloves on, and they push the button to see if it opens up. If it opens up, they go in, grab what they can grab, and they're out within a few seconds. The door's locked, they go on to the next house. Lock your doors. Most vehicles have remote key fobs. All it takes is a second. I'll be in the house sometimes. By the way, I park my vehicles in the backyard behind the fence. I'm that untrusting to most people now because I've had incidences happen of that. Hit your key fob in the middle of the night. I do it all the time. I don't know if my car is locked. I'll hit it until I hear the horn in the backyard just to be sure. So those are just a few things that I wanted to bring up real quick that are really just good common sense things to make sure you do on a regular basis and don't get trapped into that.
Also, I want to read you a little bit more. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. I want to go into more detail. This is by Brian Chilhovey. And he writes that the talking about now that the federal government is going to start testing for glyphosate herbicide in American food, because remember, federal government annual report on pesticide residues excludes glyphosate because it's not a pesticide, it's an herbicide. So now they're saying, hey, the glyphosate has been shown to be so toxic, we need to go ahead and register this out. Brian goes on to say, the United States Department of Agriculture and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, are the two federal agencies of the United States responsible for protecting consumer rights in regards to food safety. Millions of dollars of U.S. taxpayer funds are spent on testing foods annually to monitor the presence of pesticides and herbicides. However, the most commonly used herbicide, glyphosate, is not being tested. This is apparently about to change. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the nation's chief safety regulator, plans to start testing for glyphosate. Why should you be more concerned about glyphosate in your food than GMOs? Scientists have found the alarm on the danger of glyphosate for years now, but has apparently taken a report from the World Health Organization last year stating that the science on glyphosate shows that it's likely to cause cancer, to get the FDA to finally start testing American food for glyphosate. I mean, this is crazy. I read you an entire article here a couple of months ago about 15 different types of cancers that through the Freedom of Information Act, Monsanto proved was caused by glyphosate, and yet this information is out there now, and now Monsanto is still turning around because they're trying to label the glyphosate as a known carcinogen in California, and Monsanto is suing them to prevent them from doing that, though their own records say that it's a carcinogen. So guys, we're finally getting the tide to turn. We've got a presidential candidate, okay, and listen guys, it's not just me, it's Dave Hodges, it's Hagman, it's Joyce Riley, It's Alex Jones. It's all of us, and we're all tying together, working together, telling the truth. And you guys are calling the FDA. You're writing letters to congressmen. We've got a presidential candidate who wants to expose the full truth on 9/11. Are you kidding me? This is unprecedented. The globalists have to be running terrified. Dick Cheney's probably gonna have to get a new heart transplant again because of what this is gonna do to him. I mean, these guys were neck deep in treason. It is the season for treason in the United States of America, and they're finally being exposed because of the internet, because they've lost control of the media. Now, Glenn Beck, bless his heart, I mean, some of the things that Glenn Beck says are pretty good, but now he's completely promoting Ted Cruz. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Glenn Beck is promoting Ted Cruz. And, you know, the sad part about this is the alternative media in aggregate, in fact, Alex Jones' show is bigger than Glenn Beck's, the alternative media in aggregate is so much bigger than the mainstream news now, and they've lost control. This would be like a nightmare for Joseph Goebbels out of Germany. And the fact that they gave us the internet, they did it to ensnare us, to entrap us, to enslave us, to basically monitor us, to come into our homes and basically spy on us, and we've turned it around as long as we still can do it, as long as there's freedom on the internet, and we can talk on shows like this and tell the people the truth of what's happening in the United States. And guys, praise God, praise God, praise God. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. We finally have a tipping point that is occurring right now in the United States. So beware, guys. Donald Trump, please be careful. Beware they don't take us to war. Beware we don't have another major terrorist attack. This is exactly what happened after what happened with Waco. All of a sudden we had the mess started happening with Oklahoma City, that false flag they did there. They try to say, oh, these right-wing radical reactionaries, they're nuts. Well, no, we're not nuts. We're out here telling you guys the truth. We're out here telling you guys the truth that there's something stinking in Denmark. It's a bunch of rotten everything else here in the United States, and we've got to do something to correct it. Dave Hodges, are you on the air with me yet? Okay, Todd's still trying to get Dave. I know he'll be coming on probably in about two more minutes. So, Austin, what's your next story, bud?
The next one, I was the police inspector in Stockholm, Sweden, now has issued a severe warning that the Swedish legal system is about to collapse. This is the police inspector in Stockholm. In an article in Svenska Dagbladet, the police inspector writes that the huge influx of asylum seekers, criminal gangs, and Muslim extremists have stretched the Swedish police to a full-blown breaking point. In some areas, everyday situations, police are met with stones and Molotov cocktails. The researcher of terrorism and radicalization at the Swedish Defense Academy, Magnus Ronstrup, agrees with the police assessment and believes the situation in Sweden is catastrophic. He does not believe that the police's warning will make sufficient impressions on the political leadership, though. He said in the worst areas, Muslim extremists have taken over. The entire legal system is threatened and is on the verge of collapse, and it seems to be getting worse. This, again, is telling you what we were talking about, that nobody wants to talk about in the mainstream media anymore, what's going on in Europe.
One of the top magazines in Poland this week issued a front cover page of a white woman wearing a EU dress flag of the European Union with like 12 arms, looked like all Muslim colored arms, you know, the Arab arms, ripping her clothes off out of Poland. And I mean, basically what's going on in Europe and what's going on in Poland and what's going on in Germany, what's going on in France, is unprecedented in the history of the European community. Nothing like this has ever taken place, where they've willingly brought a Trojan horse in over and over and over to tune of millions and millions and millions of immigrants now in these European countries that are completely and destroying the moral fiber of what they've been raised with and the lifestyle that these people have had for literally hundreds of years, Austin. And the sad part about it is they've done it willingly. The Europeans have done it willingly because of political correctness. The Germans are still being told they're guilty for World War II, which is simply the truth of what happened with World War II. But World War II precipitated because of World War I, which nobody will ever talk about that, except every once in a while you may hear somebody on the History Channel talk about it. And the sad part about all of this is the German people don't even care anymore if they become a Muslim country, because the vast majority of the Germans that actually have any grit left in their testicles, and I'm sorry if that offends you, but it's the truth, they're gone. They've either left the country or they were killed. And so the whole problem is we've got a whole bunch of sheeple in Germany. Germany's more of a sheeple community than we are in the United States. At least we have our patriot base of people that are still saying absolutely not, who refuse to take the fluoride, refuse to take the shots, homeschool their kids, go to church every Sunday. Germany doesn't have that. They lost their relationship with God and with Jesus many, many generations ago, and very few people even go to church at all in Germany. Because remember, the people, when you go to church in Germany and you tell the government they want to know if you're going to church, they automatically take 10% of your income out of your paycheck every single month, and they give it to the churches to support the aggregate of churches, so you don't have to worry about tithing to who you want to tithe to. What a mess. And so by doing so, they pretty much forced the Europeans and the Germans to stop going to church. I mean, unbelievable. Okay, Austin, what's your next story?
Mr. Whidbey?
Yeah, I'm still here. Let me do the next one. We're trying to get in touch with Dave Hodges right now. We're having a hard time getting through with the cell phone. ISIS declares the U.S. dollar as its official currency. Hang the bankers. ISIS may threaten violence against the United States and aim to rid the Islamic world of the U.S. influence and U.S.-backed regimes. But if you want to do business in the group's caliphate, you better have money backed by the full faith of the United States government. The AP reports, within the last 2 weeks, the extremist group started accepting only dollars for tax payments for water and electric bills, according to their activists. I mean, why would they not do this? Because the CIA has been giving them money in U.S. dollars for the last 4 or 5 years, probably 10 years. So they're getting paid all this drug money through the CIA in U.S. dollars. So I guess they figure they might as well make it official now. They're only going to take U.S. government currency. What do you think about that, Austin? Is that just crazy or what?
Yeah, well, especially I think that, just like we talked about before, all this is more subliminal, just propaganda to get everybody prepared to get rid of currency, because it's gonna get to a point where they're gonna say currency's bad. The only people that use paper is terrorists. Terrorists are the only ones that use money. So for goodness sakes, we need to get rid of money, and everybody can use their debit card or their credit card, like we discussed before with the new monopoly banking system. It's completely, there's no paper anymore. It's all digital. It's interesting. There's another article I wanted to bring up too.
Well, hang on, Austin. We've got Dave Hodges. Let's go ahead and let Dave bring up the stuff he wants to talk about real quick. Dave, good to have you on with me again today. It's my pleasure to have you, my friend, as always.
I'm glad to be here.
Dave, I got to ask you a question. We just covered this story a moment ago, and I want to get your input in it. Trump has said that if he becomes president of the United States, he's going to release the full 9/11 commission report and tell us what was said in the redacted 28 pages. This even has Dick Cheney running for scared. What do you think? Should he get more bodyguards? Will he do it? Can he be elected? Or will they kill him? Or what will they do to him now, Dave, now that they've made him a 9/11 truther?
He'll be the country's next Bobby Kennedy. So in other words, I'm saying they'll kill him.
Wow. They really don't have a choice at this point, do they? Is there anything he can do
They just whacked a Supreme Court justice, and didn't just whack him. We left the message that, hey, we'll do this to anybody who gets in our way by leaving the pillowcase on his face and embalming the body on the first day. So, yeah, they'll whack him.
Wow, man, I just tell you, you don't think they'd be that brazen, but I guess I told Wayne Allen Root, Dave, he's a good friend of Trump's, and I told him the other day, he was on my show last week, you need to bring him on your broadcast, he did a great interview, and he told me basically that Trump has all kinds of bodyguards with him everywhere. The problem is he's so readily accessible at these events that he does, and he has 10 or 15,000 people in attendance, and he's not standing behind a shield or a bulletproof shield, he's just standing out there in the open. I mean, this is a major security breach for him, I believe.
You're right, but I will tell you this. I saw a manual from a friend of mine that used to be in the CIA via the Air Force, and he showed me a book called The Manual for Assassinations in Latin America. And one of the primary ways that they compromised the protection of any head of state that they wanted to do away with was to buy off the bodyguards. So literally, Trump would have to randomize his bodyguard protection every several hours in an unpredictable fashion to avoid this happening to him.
Well, that's exactly what they did to Ted Kennedy. You know that. I mean, not Ted Kennedy, JFK. I mean, that whole thing was a complete and total conspiracy with dozens and dozens of people involved, including factions of the police department. We all know that. I mean, that's old news now. I mean, these guys are long gone and dead who were involved in all that. And so, yes, you're absolutely right, Dave. He would have to rotate the bodyguards. And I'm also concerned about the plane, that 757 he rides around in. I mean, if he doesn't bring his own mechanics to work on that plane, he already had engine problems that have a forced landing last week in Memphis. If he doesn't have somebody watching that plane and have his own and his own bodyguards and his own mechanics on that plane, they could easily take him out via the aircraft.
Yeah, I have something to say about the Trump candidacy as a whole. I am both hopeful for Donald Trump, worried about Donald Trump, but skeptical of Donald Trump at the same time. I have very ambivalent feelings. He reminds me in many ways of Ross Perot. He's never hobnobbed with the likes of Ted Brewer and Dave Hodges and Steve Quayle or Doug Hagman, and yet he's championing our movements right now, and I have to ask suspiciously why. So that's my skepticism. On the other side, you know, if he's for real, and I hope to goodness he is, if he's for real, I think he's a dead man. I truly think they'll get to him. I mean, I'll say this again. This group just whacked a Supreme Court justice and wanted it known he was assassinated. I don't know how much more out in the open it could be, Ted.
Well, it's the banking cartel that's taken over the entire planet. They started back in the 1800s, 1700s in England, actually, with the Napoleonic Wars. They've continued to do this all the way through the 1800s. They've caused almost every major war, every major conflict that we've had on both sides of the water. They caused World War I. They caused the Russian Revolution. They caused World War II. They've caused all these wars. It's just they make so much money on the profit end as far as, you know, providing armaments and wars, and they back both sides, just like they did in the Civil War in the United States. I mean, it's the same group of international financiers that have been doing this for hundreds and hundreds of years, and they don't have the types of morals that we have as, quote, a Christian nation, because they really don't care. It's all about greed and power with these guys. So I agree with you. Trump's in danger. He needs to double up, rotate, do whatever he needs to do. He needs to keep the people that have been closest to him all of these years beside him to protect him. He needs to be running around in armored limousines. He needs to make sure his plane is basically safe. He needs to get some F-16s around his aircraft. But the problem is, couldn't they just take the plane down with a particle beam weapon from one of the space-based platforms? We know they can do that.
There is 50 ways to leave your lover. There's 1,000 ways to kill your presidential candidate. Mm-hmm. So they could have any number of options. If I were writing press copy for Donald Trump and his appearances, this is what I would have him conclude each speech, each town hall meeting with. This is Donald Trump signing off. I'm either one day closer to being your president and making America great again, or I'm one step closer to the cemetery. Please pray for me.
Whew, dog, that's strong, Dave.
He should say this every flipping time he speaks publicly. So if and when this happens, there is no question as to what happened. And this might serve as a rallying cry. What we need in this country, and I can't believe I'm going to say these words, I've had it with this criminal administration. There is no legitimate political way to turn this around. We need the military to come to the rescue of the people. And our job, Ted, and Steve Quayle and Doug and John B. Wells and all our friends in this independent media, we need to reach out to the people even harder and redouble our efforts. Because I talked to enough of these people privately. If they thought the people were on their side and they would support a coup, Obama would have been gone yesterday. He'd have been gone right after Benghazi. We have work to do. This president needs to leave office. He needs to leave office in handcuffs.
Dave, do you think that Justice Scalia was working with the military to try to take Obama out? Because I heard rumors of that.
It's not just rumors. I'm not at liberty to give details. And you know you don't hear me say this very often, Ted. So that speaks to the gravity of this situation. I'm allowed to confirm he had discussions with the military about national security, and they were highly concerned about the UN influence and the climate change initiatives that Obama was trying to bring in. This is absolute fact. And to show you the propaganda machines at work, yesterday in the Arizona Republic, on the front page of the local section called the Valley and State, they had a fun little article said, military bases embrace environmentalism. In other words, this is one side propagandizing against what Scalia and some of these military leaders are talking about. When Obama came into office in 2009, one of the first things that he did was he tried to introduce legislation to the Senate which would have reduced American energy usage by 80%. And I want the listening audience to comprehend this for a minute. 80%. That means you drive 80% less miles. You turn your lights on 80% less of the time. You cook 80% less of your food. You get the idea, folks. This is impractical. We'd have been going back to living 1910 living standards, and this would have devastated this country and made the Depression in the 1930s look like a recess. But the Senate fortunately rejected him. And so what ended up happening now is he's tried to take the slow burn approach, bringing in these initiatives. He's tried to get certain states like California to enact cap and trade, which they've done. And now with Scalia out of the way, and he gets his left-wing, lesbian, homosexual, whatever it will be, into the Supreme Court, it's smooth sailing to subjugate the American economy. The time for the military to act is now, and the time is short.
Well, what do you think about the Congress pretty much capitulating and saying that he can just put in whoever he wants now? I mean, I cannot believe that we're getting this from Congress and from the Senate.
Well, this is my opinion of most of the Congress, not all, most. Nancy Pelosi came on 60 Minutes a few years ago and tacitly gave an admission that she accepts insider trading. It's common practice. We have Dianne Feinstein that went into the Senate as a millionaire, and now she's worth billions because of kickback contracts she used in her position as a Senate chair committee woman in various committees to kick back deals, sweetheart deals to her husband's company. These people are all on the take. It's allowed to go on because the elite wants to put Congress by the wayside. They want to neutralize Congress with bribes and corruption, which is what they've done. And directly right now, the minions that are in these federal agencies are the only ones doing any real work. And I'm speaking about the BLM, people who murder, you know, ranchers like Lavoie, the EPA, the CDC, the FDA. All these agencies are the only ones doing the work, and they're working for the bankers, and their enemy is the American people. In fact, if you think Obama's on your side and you've tuned in by accident today and you didn't know who Ted Brewer was and you just happened here by accident, let me ask you a question. What has Obama done to improve your life? Name one thing. Don't think about it. Name one thing he's done for the American middle class except to screw it.
Well, I agree with you. Now, Dave, I want you to do something. And you did this for me on the Power Hour, and I had more comments and more emails from you covering this with me on the Power Hour than anything else that we covered. When Benghazi, I want you to go into detail right now, because I know you know this stuff like the back of your hand. I want you to talk about who gave the stand down orders in Benghazi, why the helicopters were already spooled up and ready to go on the aircraft carriers, who was involved in it, and the admirals who disappeared, and all of the stuff that happened afterwards. And friends, you might listen to me, guys. I sent out 200,000 emails a day for this show, and I've got a huge listening audience for Dave right now. I want you to listen to me very carefully. What he's fixing to tell you is so important for you to know and to realize what happened with Benghazi. Dave, tell me the whole story with Benghazi. Austin, you haven't heard this yet. This is going to blow your mind.
Well, let me just preface it by saying this. And this is taking the Project Eagle out of it entirely. I was fortunate enough to be tabbed by two high military people. One was active duty at the time, no longer is. The other used to be a high-ranking officer who had trusted me for over a dozen years because we had a past association. And they both came to me independently, and they both told me the same story. And they both chided me for not telling the Benghazi story. And I had this information in September of 2012, right before the election, and I held on to it for almost 4 weeks, and I apologized from the bottom of my heart because I didn't have the guts to go forward because I didn't think I had the facts to vet the claims. And I just searched and searched and searched and searched for facts that would support what I was told because I knew it was true. And then I happened upon a few, and I said, okay, I'm going to go. And plus, my military guys were saying, come on, Dave, we chose you for a reason. We can't go to number two now. We're invested in you. You've got to do your job as an American. So I went forward, and I published the first article, and boy, did I take heat from Glenn Beck through and from a lot of people in the media, even including the independent media. But I said the following, that Chris Stevens, for almost a year, had begged Hillary Clinton for more protection because he felt threatened because things were beginning to leak out about what he did. And what was he doing? He was involved in the murder of Gaddafi. He helped raise funds that went to Al-Qaeda to hunt Gaddafi down and kill him. He was running kids, yes, child sex trafficking. He was running drugs. He was running guns, and that kind of appeared in the New York Times without his name attached to it. And he knew he was a marked man. And here he is in Libya, and he was afraid the same forces he used would be used against him to silence him in an election year where the leaks couldn't be traced back to the White House. So when the trouble started, they put out a call to General Hamm, and my channels tell me that he had been talking to General Hamm, who was the head of AFRICOM at the time, that this could be coming down. Will you support me? Hamm spoke with him on secure communication channels and said yes, but they weren't as secure as what General Hamm wanted. And Obama put a number two under the command of General Hamm. His name was Colonel Rodriguez, DIA. His job, keep an eye on General Hamm. Well, also, there was an admiral that was working with General Hamm who was the commander of Carrier Task Force 3. His position was so important that it takes a congressional appointment to replace him. He had to receive congressional approval to be the commander of Carrier Task Force 3. He agreed to work with him. He'll provide the surveillance and the intelligence data as he comes across it. Hamm will bring in the Rangers, and they'll conduct the rescue when needed. They knew this hit was going to take place weeks in advance of when it did. They knew pure fire, and when it started to go down, Leon Panetta told Hamm, you will stand down. He hung up the phone and said, like hell I will, and Rodriguez pulled a sidearm on him and put him under arrest.
Wait. You're saying that General Hamm, Admiral Hamm, was going to go ahead and send the troops in?
General Hamm, head of AFRICOM.
General Hamm, and the CIA, who was assigned to him, pulled a sidearm out on General Hamm and put him under arrest.
That's correct.
Go ahead.
That's correct.
Go ahead.
Hamm was allowed to live, and he's allowed to keep his pension, and he surfaces now and then in the public. And the man is now a self-avowed Muslim. At least that's what I'm told from my sources. This man totally capitulated under threat of death. Admiral Gayet, I can't track his whereabouts. Admiral Gayet was also arrested by his number two, and I do not know the name. I never learned the name, but I was told he went down in a very similar fashion. And Admiral Hamm was arrested because, or Admiral Gayet, I should say, was arrested because he was providing intelligence for General Hamm. Well, the last I read about Gayet, and I was able to validate this to the mainstream media, ABC ran a report and said, here are examples of Navy commanders that have been taken out of their leadership positions by Obama, and here are the reasons why. And what they said about Cahiette was almost laughable. His inability to relate to people of different backgrounds. That was the official reason. Excuse me, you don't get to be in a position like that if you can't manage people of all races and faiths in a multi-racial, multi-religious type of organization like the U.S. Navy. It was totally ludicrous. And he was then moved to Bremerton, the base in Bremerton, Washington, and he has totally dropped out of sight. I can't find him. My sources can't find him. We don't know whether he's alive or dead. He may very well be alive and comfortably discharged from the military. No one I know can find out. That was the story behind Benghazi. Now, here was what they wanted to do. Pam and Guyette were both concerned because this is a time when Obama was ripping through the command structure of the military, firing every command officer who he didn't feel was loyal to him and would be disloyal to the American people. Guyette and Ham had had enough, and they felt that Stevens was providing them with the excuse and the impetus to launch a coup of opportunity. And I mean a military coup. Had they rescued Stevens, Stevens had agreed to sing publicly about the sex trafficking, everything else. He said, I'll sing about to the media, and they wanted to bring down the Obama administration and save the U.S. military. That was their goal. Now, I thought there would be follow-up coups. They tried once, they failed. Well, the military will come back and try again, and I was told no. The reason that coup happened was because it was a coup that presented the opportunity. No planning, no popular support from the people was needed. Now, today, it's a different set of circumstances. To roll the tanks up to the White House and arrest that entity that occupies the Oval Office, you would have to have the people on your side or it will fail. And right now, our country is too dumbed down, too ignorant to know what's going on. We don't even know our constitutional rights, for God's sake. So this is why the military will not act unless they have a coup of opportunity.
So basically what you're telling me is they knew the attack was going to take place on Stevens. They put him there on purpose because they wanted to have him killed so he would shut up. And that's why they refused to allow Ham to send him help, because they knew what was going on. So Stevens was set up to be murdered.
Yes.
Did you know that, Austin?
No, I didn't know any of that. I did some research before I went and saw that 13 Hours film. And I assumed that a lot of that, it seemed like it was pretty accurate as far as the actual events that took place. But you could tell there was a lot more behind that movie and the way that everything was set up and then not allowing any of those fighter jets or anybody to do air raids or come in at all.
Well, it was obvious they wanted to kill the man.
Yeah.
And it was obvious. And finally, when they told the AFRICOM that, you know, that Stevens was dead, that's when they finally sent in that group of people from the airport to take them all out. But until that happened, nobody was coming in. I don't think
they had to kill the perpetrators, like Hitler had to kill the brown shirts that burned down the Reichstag, because dead men tell no tales, and no false flag event can be traced back to the primary source. And that's why they sent the jets in later. The jets could have been sent in instantaneously. But they had, Sam had two helicopters of Rangers ready to go with support F-16 from Carrier Task Force 3. They could have been in the general vicinity.
How quickly could those helicopters have been there, Dave? 20, 30 minutes, 40 minutes?
No, the jets could have been there for air support within 3 minutes.
How about the helicopters?
About 25 to 30 minutes is what I was told.
So they let it drag on for hours upon hours upon hours just to make sure Stevens was dead?
Yes. And the reports I have is that the cabinet, namely Hillary, Panetta, Obama, and Holder, watched the entire event by drone.
So who gave the stand down order?
Panetta, acting on behalf of Obama. Now, what's interesting about that story, I printed it in October. People can go to thecommonsenseshow.com, go to my search engine, and put in Benghazi. And I've written several articles, but go back to the first one, and you will see the details of what I provided here with documented links. And I would encourage that.
Give your website out again, please.
Go do that.
Dave, your website again, please.
TheCommonSenseShow.com, and I have a search engine at the top, and if you put in Benghazi, Benghazi, and go to the first article I wrote in October, and I don't have that specific date in front of me, but go there and look at that. Now, here's what's interesting. I took a lot of vilification for this article up until about February, and if you recall, this is when Hillary had her slip and falls and all the other nonsense and refused to testify. She should have been held in contempt of Congress. And it was about the end of February that other stories supportive of my narrative came out, and then people who were critical of me began to back off. And then my military sources, both of them, were saying, see, Dave, we told you it would work out. I mean, I was discredited, hotly discredited, for most 4 months. I didn't care because I knew what I was told was the truth. And what people need to realize is, look it, they killed a Supreme Court justice. You've just heard how they killed an ambassador. Do you think they care twice about you, your finances, your pension, your IRAs, your children's future? Do you think they care about you? And we just sit idly by and let this crap happen. We should be on the airwaves like this. You should call the talk shows and say, we need the military to act against Obama, and we need to do it now.
Wow. I mean, gosh, I've never heard you call for a coup d'etat. I mean, that's, but yeah, I don't know what else to do after the Supreme Court justice drops dead in his sleep, supposedly with a pillow over his head. I mean, who sleeps with a pillow over their head? That was obviously a clear message.
What kind of investigation or action was Scalia involved in? Yeah, I think this even goes deeper than climate change. I think the climate change initiative the Supreme Court knocked down just the week before Scalia's death had a big hand in the decision to murder him. But I also think the meeting with the military had something to do with it, too. And if I were sitting in Scalia's shoes and knowing this issue as I do, I would have expected a desperate animal in Obama. And let me explain what I mean by this, Ted. Back, 2010 to about 2013, I wrote a seven-part series called The Great Gulf Coast Oil Conspiracy. The Great Gulf Coast Holocaust is what I called it. And it was seven parts. And in parts 3, 4, 5, and 6, I detail a lot of the shenanigans that went on and how this was a planned event. And let me get into the part that applies to Obama. As I was learning why they used Corexit to suppress the oil, I found there were conflicts of interest. Obama was being paid to do so by Nalco to his Vanguard 1 and Vanguard 2 funds. The late Bob Chapman on the Alex Jones show a few days before Bob's death revealed the same thing I had printed 2 months earlier. And then I also discovered, I went way back and I said, wow, Obama's really into this climate change thing. And I stumbled across this as a result of my Gulf Coast investigation. He used to be in a group called the Joyce Foundation. And Valerie Jarrett was the head of the Joyce Foundation. Kind of interesting. She was in charge of Obama then. He was a state senator. And now he's her boss, but I still think she's running the White House. Al Gore was involved. George Soros and friends were underwriting and funding this event. And the Joyce Foundation was about gathering banking allies to fund cap and trade, carbon trading. And out of this group came the formation of the first carbon trading bank called the Chicago Climate Exchange. And when Obama didn't get through the Senate when he was elected, his carbon trading scheme, and it failed, the Chicago Climate Exchange failed because the bankers started pulling their money out. But I'm telling you, I'm wholeheartedly convinced, 100%, the reason that Obama was made president was not just because of national health care. That was a far secondary reason. The major reason was because he was going to put us in this system called technocracy, where carbon credits replace cash and it becomes a new economy. We own no private property. There's real rich and there's real poor. And Pat Wood calls this technocracy. He's written a great book on this called Technocracy Rising. And I'm telling you, my research says this is why this man became president. Now, let's translate this into Scalia. Scalia, on one hand here, is a man who should have known he was dealing with a wounded animal. Obama has 1 year, less than 1 year, to make this a reality. And it doesn't look like it's going to happen when the Supreme Court has knocked him down. Scalia should have known Obama was going to do this. Scalia had to know what happened to Chris Stevens. Hell, if Dave Hodges can find out about it, a Supreme Court judge can sure find out about it, too. And he should have had bodyguards with him wherever he went. He was reckless and he was careless. And I feel terrible that he's dead, but I'm confident in what I'm saying. And he should have known Obama was coming after him. And mark my words, Obama needs cap-and-trade, carbon-trading technocracy to go through, because when he's done being president, he wants a position in the New World Order, just like Bill Clinton's trying to be the head of the UN. He's lobbied for that. He's tried to lobby for the head of the World Bank. But Obama wants to be a similar kind of person with similar positions. And if he doesn't get this through on his watch, his opportunities following his presidency, which is a mid-management job, are going to be severely limited. Obama will murder anyone who steps in his way in this endeavor.
So you're calling the presidency a mid-management level position because there are people so much higher.
He's taking marching orders. I'm telling you right now, it's Valerie Jarrett talking to the bankers. Obama's on the golf course. They meet. She tells him what's going on. He makes the press releases. He's a figurehead. But he's a figurehead we need to arrest because it would be the first step towards breaking up this cabal.
Real quick, Dave, the president of Turkey was put into place by the CIA. They owed billions and hundreds of billions of dollars to the IMF, and all of a sudden all those loans got paid off somehow. And now all of a sudden we're running all the drugs through Turkey. Tell everybody, just reiterate what I always tell them about Afghanistan, about the heroin going through Turkey, going back up into Europe, and how the CIA is running almost $1 trillion worth of heroin into the United States every year. It's the third largest commodity in the world. And the United States is basically completely supporting it, controlling it, distributing it, and protecting it. Go ahead.
Well, you're right on the money. And I don't think I could say it much better, but I might characterize it this way, Ted. The takeover of Afghanistan with intermediary points in Syria with on-the-ground special ops and also in Iraq with heavy-duty military forces at one time, it was all about a Cold War involving control of foreign drug markets. And this was a war of unification to get control of heroin, and the opponent was China and secondarily Russia. China is heavily dependent upon their opium trade. Nothing has changed since the English ran China as a colony. Nothing has changed. And this was a way to engage in a drug war, a cold war, so to speak, with China. And that's what this whole thing was about. And you know who the main players are in this? George Bush. George H.W. Bush is still a major player in this game. I mean, this is his baby. From the days he set up Zapata Oil to run drugs in Iran-Contra, when he was in the CIA, this has always been George Bush's M.O.
Unbelievable. So you still think that George Bush has that kind of power, that he's still pulling strings at this point, even though he's almost 90 years old?
Bad health, but he delegates. But he's smart enough not to delegate to his idiot son.
Which one?
All of them.
I think
Jeb Bush is a poster child for too much lead in the water. The guy can't say two intelligible sentences. Yeah. I mean, he's calling. I wrote about this the other day. He's calling Donald Trump a 9/11 truther. Hey, well, guess what, Jeb? Half the country is truthers. So you just increased his support level, you moron.
Yeah. Let me read you this real quick. Since 1961, you tell me how this happened after Erdogan became president of Turkey. Since 1961, Dave, Turkey has signed 19 IMF loan accords. Erdogan's government satisfied the budgetary and market requirements of the two during his administration and received every loan installment in the only time any Turkish government has ever done so. Erdogan inherited a debt of $23.5 billion to the IMF, which was reduced, it doesn't say by who, to $0.9 billion in 2012. He decided not to do and sign a new deal. Turkey's debt to the IMF was thus declared to be completely paid, and he announced that the IMF could now borrow money from Turkey. I mean, think about this. How in the world did this $23.5 billion get paid? It's all about the drugs running through Turkey into Germany on the C-130 transport planes. Now, tell me about this, Dave, because you know a lot of these military guys. I mean, what do these troops think? You know, you told me once was a Tillman who got shot in the back of the head because he was over there, he saw what was going on, and he's going to blow the whistle. Tell me what these troops are thinking when they're walking through the poppy fields and they're having to guard these guys. I know you talk to these guys when they come back. Tell me what they think, Dave.
Well, just what we think. They're betrayed. Yeah. They go in there with high ideals, thinking they're fighting for their country, risking their life for a noble purpose, and then they find out what it's really all about. I mean, the cognitive dissonance that takes place for a veteran is beyond understanding and belief. And this is why 23 of them a day kill themselves. They have the highest suicide rate for any subgroup in the United States. They don't deal with this well. And add to it the post-traumatic stress disorder of being in combat for several tours of duty. I mean, it's one crappy job. This is why I'm so loyal. I mean, I grew up an 80 brat, so I don't need much convincing. This is why I'm so loyal to our troops, because they're not asking for this. You know, and they're a hot skip and a jump away from a court-martial. And even when they leave the service, they classify a lot of their drug operations, and they told me this privately, if they speak out about these drug operations, they'll be brought back into the service, they'll be court-martialed, they'll get Leavenworth for 20 years of hard labor. They can't speak out. Otherwise, we'd be hearing nasty tales of this.
Unbelievable. I mean, so are we about to have World War III, or is Turkey not getting any support from the rest of the people in NATO? Or have the Germans and everybody else finally figured out this is the game that nobody wants to play over there? Because Turkey supposedly...
World War III is lined up. I mean, World War III, the starting lineup's been announced. You know, the batting practice is over. The hitters are in the on-deck circle. But they're waiting for something, and it's always been my contention. Major false flag events, followed by martial law, possible civil war if the military stands up, subjugation of the people, complete destruction of the American military, the use of foreign assets fighting on behalf of America for a third world war, which it will lose. And right now, if people doubt the temerity of what I'm saying, go to my website again, thecommonsenseshow.com, put in UWEX, UX 16, unconventional warfare exercise 16, and they are practicing for civil war in the state of Texas. And if you dig really deep and go to the links beyond the links, you will see that they're going to take this nationwide. Now, why would they be practicing for civil war? Who are they going to fight against? It's not Ma and Pa Kettle sitting down there in Texas, you know, farming their land. They're going against American troops who aren't going to go along with this tyranny. So, again, my admonition to people is encourage the military to take action before it's too late, because foreign assets are being lined up as we speak to take down our military inside the country if they go rogue against the Obama administration.
Wow. Okay, today's show is being brought to you by HealthMasters.com. If you like the information you heard, which you probably don't like, but you're glad you heard it anyhow, I mean, who in the world is going to be happy about any of this stuff? Support HealthMasters. I mean, there are only a few of us out there. It's me, Hagman, Hodges, Steve Quayle. I mean, even Jones doesn't even cover some of this stuff, that talk about this stuff in the kind of depth we just did today. Because you guys know we're telling you the truth. We have no ulterior motive of any of this. I mean, we're just trying to let you guys know that we're patriots, you're patriots if you're listening today, and we appreciate you guys and we love you guys. So thank you for supporting HealthMasters.com. We know you can have your nutritional products from anywhere, and we know that we make the best products in the world, and you know that too when you start using the supplements. We've got the Dave Hodges Joint and Healthy Joint Program Protocol on our website. We've got the Healthy Blood Sugar Protocol with Doug Hagman, and we appreciate your support. We appreciate you taking care of us. We'll take care of you at healthmasters.com. Dave, what do you want to close the show with? We've got a couple minutes left.
Well, the thing I close with is this. Excuse me. You said that we have nothing to gain from this by lying, and that's true. I've lost money over this deal. I've lost deployment. I've been shot at in one of the two homes I own inside the city of Phoenix. And in fact, I was interviewing Jim Mars along with Andy DeRiso at the time. I know how real this can be. They've tried to steal my land. I could go on and on and on with it. I'd be in a much better position right now if I had stayed in college basketball coaching to teach my classes and ignore this and pretend someone else is going to fix it with bystander apathy. But I can't stand by. You know, every time I try to drift away from this, I get a calling back from God that says, you know, get back to work. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Do your job. And this is the mission that I feel I've been tasked to achieve.
Dave, thank you. We're almost out of time. I appreciate you. You're my friend. Again, I'll be on Hagman Show tomorrow night for the full 3 hours. I'll be on Doug Hagman Show tomorrow night for the full 3 hours. God bless you guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow night.